Well, good morning. Welcome, everybody. I got a chance to say hi to everybody, but for Jackie's purposes, why don't we just run around the room, introduce ourselves before we get started, if you want to.
Hello, I'm Jason Politi from Baker Public Relations.
Leah Rostahar from Baker Public Relations.
Barry Sample, Gaming Commission.
Ron Okram, Gaming Commission.
Jackie Zub, Ag and Marcus.
Peter Argenta, Ag Fund.
Richard Ball, Ag and Marcus.
Kelly Young, the Ag Fund.
Melanie LaCour, Gaming Commission.
Sarah Quinn, Capital Management Services.
Connie Richardson, Ag Fund.
Jean Clearwater, Blue Chip Farms.
Well, welcome, everybody. And we don't have anyone got our backs today, so we'll get right into the meeting. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone, here today for the record. And the purposes of a quorum, I am Richard Ball, Commissioner of the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets and Trustee of the Agriculture and New York State Horse Breeding Development Fund. I am joined by Fund Board members Barry Sample, Chairman of the New York State Gaming Commission, and Peter Argenta. A quorum being present, we can call this meeting to order. Our first order of business is to designate a board member as the presiding officer.
I nominate Commissioner Ball.
I second it.
I don't get to make a comment here, though. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you so much. Before we get to the agenda, I would like to make just a couple of remarks. In addition to the members present, Kelly Young, the executive director of the fund, is here. We are also joined by Dawn Bennett and Connie Richardson, who provide staff support to the fund. Melanie LaCour, assistant counsel for the Gaming Commission, will be serving as counsel today. Also pleased to introduce Sarah Quinn from Capitol Hill Management. Sarah has taken over as our primary point person for marketing and event coordination. And the notes tell me you're doing a great job. Jason Politi of Baker Public Relations joins us as well. Thank you both for being here, and Leah. At this point, we're going to open it up for public comment. Hearing none, we'll move on and on to the agenda. The minutes of the regular meeting of April 9th, 2019 are presented for review and approval. We have those. Any comments? Barry, Peter?
Nope.
Okay, can we get a motion to approve and a second?
So moved.
I second it.
All in favor? Approved. Thank you very much. Item four, consideration to enter into executive session. I would like the trustees to consider going into executive session. Can I get a motion to do so?
I make a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
This time I'm going to ask everyone except the trustees, the executive director, and counsel to spare us. And Ron and Jackie.
Okay, thank you.
If that's all right. So apologies, but thank you. To discuss personnel matters pursuant to New York Public Officers Law, Section 105.1. And now back to the agenda. Next item on the agenda is item five, consideration of marketing services contract. The fund's contract for equine marketing and public relations services was awarded for 3 years, beginning May 1st, 2017, and concluding on April 30th, 2020. As we're quickly approaching that end date, which is right before the kickoff of the Sire Stakes racing season, issuing an RFP and potentially contracting a new firm for marketing at that time is not in the best interest of the racing program. So today the trustees need to discuss how we would like to proceed. One option is to extend the current contract. This is an action we have taken in the past on other contracts. If we choose to extend the contract, we would do so under the current terms and at the current payment rate. Additionally, staff would have the authority to execute the extension agreement on behalf of the fund if that is in fact what the trustees decide. So we'd like the trustees to consider extending the current contract through February 28, 2021. This creates a more seamless time frame for beginning and ending a contract. This date falls after the stallion directory and annual report have been published and well in advance of the start of the racing season. Trustees, what is your pleasure?
We need a motion to approve?
Any discussion?
Or any discussion, yeah.
I have no discussion.
I have no problem with extending the contract.
Kelly, your thoughts?
I think, as you said, the date is a good day to adjust our timeline and...
February 28th being a better time to think about a change if there's going to be one.
Yes, than April, yes.
Okay. Someone like to make a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unopposed, motion carries. Item 6 is the ratification of yearling and stallion eligibility requirements for 2020. The trustees have previously approved by email ballot the yearling and stallion eligibility requirements for 2020 so that stallions could register for the 2020 breeding season by January 1st. According to our bylaws, the board may take action on time-sensitive items, which we did, but must ratify them at the next public meeting. We plan to do that today, but also want to consider one change recommended by staff. Kelly, can you explain that for us?
Yes, so the stallion conditions went out this year. They were the same as last year. In the interim between when the registration forms were sent to stallion owners, we had a question about one of the new provisions that allows a stallion to leave the state for the preservation of semen. And the date that rule requires them to be back in the state is November 1. In reviewing that, so we just adopted this last year, but in reviewing that this year, it seemed like a slightly arbitrary date. So I'm recommending that we change it to December 31st, which would allow a stallion to be back in the state before the end of the year and before the next breeding season begins, but gives them a little more flexibility. It didn't seem like there was a great justification for having the November 1 date and preventing a stallion from those opportunities. I'm going to offer, Gene had some experience with this, so if you have anything else to offer about this potential change and that rule, I'd like to give you that opportunity.
Well, I think it's fine. One thing, for the most, a normal stallion, doing frozen semen in-state is certainly a viable option, but in the case of our one stallion, who is a special needs, I would say, when it comes to freezing his semen, the best results that this particular stallion had was when a company in Maryland had frozen his semen using their extenders, which are not commercially available. They're owned by that company. And he's a stallion who doesn't give a lot of semen to begin with, and you lose semen quantity when you do freeze. So having extra time to be able not only to do the freezing for a horse that doesn't have a huge output, but also to be able to do all the necessary post-testing, I think the extra time would be welcome. So it just gives more options to the stallion owner. It's not like they're not making a commitment. They still have to pay the $5,000 fee to take the horse out of state. But for those horses that need that type of handling with their frozen semen, I think the extension date is appropriate.
Because these rules have already gone out and stallions have already been registered under these rules, should we make an adjustment to them, we would notify all stallions owners that registered this year and make it public that this was changed for the 2020 breeding season, to be fair to everyone. But because this is not a restriction on those stallions, but kind of opening up their opportunities, I don't think that there will be any problem with making that adjustment.
We're less restrictive, so.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem.
Okay. All right. Any other further discussion about those requirements or eligibilities?
What's post-testing?
Most of the trotting stallions, and I'm not quite sure, but I think even the pacing stallions that freezing for down under, the USDA has specific testing requirements, and Select Breeders does do a, and even Blue Chip does a post-freeze testing protocol required by the USDA for export. So it is a, you have to do it in the 30-day post-freezing period, and it's very specific in the regulations. So to enable that to be done, that's, you know, you have to do it to export the semen.
But they test for what types of things?
It's Akoggins, vesicular stomatitis. CEM swabs have to be taken from three different sites on the penis, and EVA. So it's because the countries that, in many times, and it's even worse for the Southern Hemisphere. I don't even go into that. But, at least in Europe, where our main customers are, it's screening for diseases that they do not want to propagate or they do not have. So those horses
they
must be negative.
They don't want that introduced to their
population. So you not only have to test going into the freezing, you have to test post-freezing. It's like a bookend.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Can I get a motion to accept the yearling and stallion eligibility requirements with the proposed change?
I make that motion.
And a second? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Motion carries. Item 7 is consideration of the 2020 conditions. In front of you, members have a markup of proposed conditions for the New York Sire Stakes number 61, which will be for foals of 2019, the Excelsior Series for 2020, and the County Fair Series for 2020. Let's look at each one of these conditions individually. Kelly, do you want to summarize the changes before we get into a discussion?
Sure. So I apologize, trustees, that the type is so small. Each set of conditions, we've updated the dates and number of stake, so those are standard changes. We have made in the sire stakes conditions, I'll go through those first. In the supplementary entries, right now the conditions read that supplements for foals that were not nominated as yearlings are due by March 1. This date's in there so that if somebody makes a February 15th stake payment, and we realize that they never nominated, they still have time to get that payment in. That March 1 date is confusing, though, to the general population. It's hard to publicize that. So I am suggesting an adjustment that says if the regular February 15th payment is made on time, but the horse was not nominated as a yearling, the fund may, at its discretion, accept the supplementary fee upon notification of the individual making the payment. That way, the supplement will be due on February 15th. We can say that very clearly. But then if someone sends it in and doesn't realize that they're not eligible, the fund can provide a window of time in which that person needs to get that supplement in. And usually it's like a week.
Okay. Because this is where we had a problem a few years ago. That's why we changed it to the first.
Right. So hopefully this language is amenable to you to... Yeah. We'll say it's February 15th for the supplement, and then if there's any, errors in someone's understanding of their eligibility, the fund will be able to accept that check after that, within a short window. Okay. So that's why that change. Then there is another change on the second page of the sire stakes conditions. Currently, a horse has to have a charge satisfactory performance line within 30 days of their declaration to a race. I am suggesting in these yearling conditions, we change that to 45 days, and that would correspond more closely to a change the Gaming Commission is currently has out for comment, I believe. And my expectation, unless you correct me, is that that will probably be accepted. So this means that we will be coordinating with the prevailing state rules regarding qualifying. To be clear, our date is 45 days of declaration. The tracks, I believe, for overnight events is 45 days of the race date, so that will still be a difference, but at least we'll be 45 days and 45 days instead of 30. We won't change the Excelsior and County Fair conditions for that this year. We'll change them next year so that we don't have a lot of confusion among the horses. I thought that would be the least confusing way to do it.
Okay, so this these conditions are for the ones that are going to be nominated?
These are for yearlings, yeah.
So we'll all come in on the same time?
Yeah, so this year, for our stakes events, even though the Gaming Commission overnight rules will probably be changed by that time, our rules will not, because our Sire Stakes rules are already in effect. Okay. We've got to kind of wait until they time in.
Bring them all in online the same time.
Exactly. And then on the last page, the one change we're making is currently you can't race in more than one final event. So the Sire Stakes Finals, the Sire Stakes Consolation, or the Excelsior Finals. That does not, however, for some reason, the conditions do not include the County Fair Final. So we actually had horses compete in the County Fair Final this year, and one competed in the Consolations, and one competed in the Excelsior Final. So to be fair across the board, we are recommending putting in that the County Fair Final is included in that list that you can only compete in once. That way the most horses that are able to compete in the big money events at the end of the season, and no horse is double dipping. So we're making that change to add the County Fair Final. And the final thing is, it's unclear to some horsemen the conditions, whether they, because draw date, declaration dates and draw dates sometimes overlap for different events depending on the track where they're being raced. Horses may be eligible to several final events, and they don't know, because of where they rank in the point standings, which one they're going to get into. So because they have to enter the finals, and then the horses, the top eight horses that aren't used in the finals, then go to the Consolation, they just don't know if they're going to get into some events when they enter them. So the practice has been, if you enter an event and you don't get in because you're not one of the point earners, you're further down the list, you can then enter another event. We thought it was only fair, if you don't get in, you can enter another event. This final change here just clarifies that, so horsemen can see it in writing and everybody's on the same page and knows what they are able to do. So just changing the language to say, if a horse declares into a final event and is not selected, or the race does not fill, which has been the fact with some of our Consolation races, the horse may declare into another final event that has not yet been drawn. So it's just clarifying what's already in practice. So that's the Sire Stakes. You guys have any questions? In Excelsior, normal updates to dates and stakes numbers, and the same change that was described in the Sire Stakes by adding the County Fair Finals. You can only race in one final event, and that the horse can declare into another event if they are not selected. So those are the same as I just described in the Sire Stakes for the Excelsior. And in the County Fair conditions, this is a major change. On the second page, because of how the County Fair purses are divided out, depending on the number of divisions, particularly for two-year-old events, some of those purses go for $1,800, $1,850, and as the cost of shipping horses to our various fairs has increased, and just keeping horses in general has increased, when those purses are on the small side, they're not taking home very much money to cover their cost of getting there. So we're proposing that the fund will supplement divisions that the purse does not reach $2,000 to bring it up to $2,000. So basically, we'd be guaranteeing a minimum $2,000 purse for all of our events. Last year, this would have cost the fund $22,000 to do. And it is a little easier to guarantee a minimum purse budget-wise than it is to raise purses across the board. It takes a lot to raise purses at 20 fairs. But guaranteeing a minimum purse, in the budget, there's a $25,000 line just in case it's more next year than it was this year. But that at least gives horsemen more reason to go to the fairs. Maybe we'll encourage fuller fields because they know that they'll be racing for at least $1,000 if they win. So that is a major change potentially to the County Fair program.
Can I have a question? What's in place that keeps a County Fair
from artificially keeping their purse level low because they know that it'll be supplemented with the $2,000?
They can't, because the money that we give them all of their purses,
yeah.
And the conditions provide for how those are divided. So they get $24,000, 45% goes to two-year-olds, and that's divided equally among the four two-year-old divisions, and 55% goes to three-year-olds divided among those four divisions. Because of how the purse is structured, when a division divides two or three times, the starting fees are always the same, $50. That purse,
it gets stretched further.
It gets stretched so far that sometimes it's not very much. Any other questions on that change? Then E, that is just adding into the county fair conditions the rule that you can only race in one final event, similar to what we discussed in the other two set of conditions. On the third page, we are suggesting a deletion of the line that says these events are subject to the rules of the New York State Gaming Commission, the conditions of the Agriculture New York State Horse Breeding Development Fund. These events are not subject to the Gaming Commission. I think this line was taken out of the Sire Stakes and Excelsior conditions. The county fair events that are subject to the Gaming Commission rules are those that are raced at the Parimutuel track, which is the finals. And in the conditions already related to that, it describes that those events are subject to the Gaming Commission. So this line is confusing and unnecessary, so we're recommending deleting it. And those are all of the changes.
Any other items the members would like to discuss on the conditions?
No, something that's related when you're talking about the conditions. What did the field look like for this year, for 2019, for the fairs, in terms of the number of participants? Has it gone down, stayed the same? I was hearing anecdotes that there was like one horse running, two horse running. I just didn't know how much of an issue it is. And is that our business to try to help with that? And is it a problem or not, basically, is my question.
It was actually short fields was slightly less of a problem this year than it was last year. We had less walkovers and two horse races than we did last year. But that is still can be an issue in the weeks where we have multiple fairs, and particularly when there's multiple fairs in the same region.
Sometimes there's three fairs the same day.
Even the same day, yes.
Okay. Yeah. This year we had two times when there was two fairs on the same day. They tend to be in different sides of the state, so often you're drawing different horseman populations. But when you have multiple fairs in one region of the state in a week, there's just not enough horses to go around, so you get some short field. Some people will race multiple times a week. Sometimes there's just not enough horses. So some fairs are more popular than others, too, so folks will choose to go to those because the track surface is maybe better, the stabling options are better,
or whatever.
Exactly. So there's some things that we can control. I think giving them minimum purses helps to encourage more participation. We'll talk later. We actually have inquiries from two new locations this year that would like to potentially host county fair races, partly because of the interest in getting fans into the grandstand earlier in the week. And harness racing is actually, we're an economical option for them as opposed to some of the other attractions at a grandstand and how expensive those can be. So, you know, it's kind of exciting that there are fairs that want to hold harness racing. Mm-hmm. And we've actually seen, you know, this year I got out to a lot more fairs than I did last year. And we have really dedicated people at some of these fairs that really care about harness racing and want the harness racing program to be good. So they're thinking about new ways to make the experience of the horsemen there great for so that they get more horses there themselves.
So what do you hear from the horsemen? In terms of whether this is an issue or problem for them, or is things
well,
that should be done?
This has been where the agricultural societies, they choose when they have their fair that week. So we really can't, you know, we don't get into scheduling the races. They do that. So, you know, everybody always wants that, you know, middle of July or whatever, early August. And so it kind of gets bunched up a little bit. But, you know, Kelly and I have been talking in the future of, you know, trying to increase the county fair purses somehow. We'll look into it'll draw more horses to it if there's a, you know, but like just helping them doing a 2,000 minimum, where usually if you split the two divisions, some places they went and split three divisions, so you're taking, you know, $2,800 and splitting it three ways. So when you win the race, you get $500-$600 for the week. You know, I mean, you can't afford to go to a sale, buy a horse, and you know, some of these horses, when you look at, you know, especially Goshen or Morrisville, you look at the program and the catalog, and you know, they're not the better bred ones, but you never know what's going to come out of there. But a lot of them will be county fair horses. We'll make it at that level. But if you could, you know, make it a little more enticing to kind of go with the rest of the states. Of course, we have a three-tier program where a lot of them just have county fairs and sire stakes. So they really race for a lot of money in some of these other states at the county fairs. But, you know, we've been talking about it and, you know, where we're going to go, you know, changing things around in the future. I think if we could just make it a little more appetizing, I think a lot more horses would come. And I think the other thing too is with some of our new inspectors and stuff, they're making them go out and making sure the track is fixed, making sure the barns areas, you know, there's place for them to go, and not just we show up and the place hasn't been touched, you know. And they're actually putting a little more emphasis on the, you know, better conditions, better track conditions. So when you start getting that done across the state, then I think you'll have more people will want to go, and if we can increase the purse a little bit, that would really help it too. But we're looking at that going into the future.
Thank you. I got off topic. It's just something, you know, I know less than anybody in the room, so I'll ask you a lot of questions.
We don't believe that. Question, when as we entertain the idea of additional county fairs, do we want to look closely at what's already in their neighborhood and what's going on so we don't wind up cannibalizing an existing county fair?
Yeah. As Peter kind of alluded to, it's challenging because the fairs are scheduled largely because of when they get the carnivals, you know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the coordination of scheduling, I think many close locations already try to do that because they just get better attendance, period, when there's not a competing fair in the next county over. We ask that the harness raising happen during the fair. The only exception is Buffalo, right, Erie County. The benefit of having a fair that's not like Buffalo, Erie County Fair, we can move to a time in the schedule that's less competitive, and they are very helpful in doing that this year so that there's more racing opportunities for those horsemen. But in terms of scheduling, it's challenging. The two fairs that are inquiring are Caledonia, which is that Livingston?
Livingston, oh, Caledonia again?
Caledonia's interested. Even more interested is actually Morrisville. So the college has a track that at one point was licensed by USTA. They didn't participate in our county fair program, but their county I'm forgetting right now, does not have a racetrack at the fairgrounds, so does not have the opportunity to race horses, and to the best of my knowledge never has, at least in the last 50 years. So they're talking with their county fair, so that is another location that the schedule could be made to fit our calendar better, not necessarily be tied to the fair.
That's Madison County.
It is, yes, thank you, yes.
But even within like the fair week, is there any flexibility? I'm sure they're not running the races every day.
Right.
Are they every day of the fair? So, I mean,
it's prescribed
when the fair occurs.
Usually our harness races are early in the week because for the safety of the animals and the people in our races, you want them on the best track surface possible. And the other events that happen in the grandstand degrade that track surface. That's why many of our fairs are on Tuesdays, Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay. Kelly, was that when Caledonia was it Canandaigua? I thought you told me Canandaigua.
I'm sorry, Canandaigua, not Caledonia.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Ontario County.
I apologize. Yes, you're right. Yes.
Nice. That's okay. Kind of neat.
It's neat to inquire after, to have folks inquire after that, yeah.
Yeah, that's good news.
That is good news.
Any other questions?
Well, we should make a big deal out of that.
Yeah.
Let me get them on board first. Let me get them approved first.
Yeah, get them approved, and then I'm volunteering, Commissioner Coyne.
Yeah, we'll go cut a ribbon or do something.
That would be fun.
Yeah. All right, any other questions for Kelly?
No.
Okay, let's approve each set of these conditions individually. We need a motion to accept Sire Stakes number 61 conditions with these changes. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So carried. And now a motion to adopt the Excelsior Series conditions with the changes noted.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So carried. Is there a motion to adopt the County Fair Series conditions?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And so carried. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Item 8 is the consideration of 2020 New York Sire Stakes schedules. In front of the trustees is a proposed schedule for the New York Sire Stakes and Excelsior Series events in 2020. These dates have been reviewed and agreed to by the 7 harness tracks. The New York Sire Stakes finals will be held at Yonkers Raceway this year in conjunction with the International Trot. This Day of Champions with a special afternoon post time will be held on Saturday, September 12th. We are anticipating another spectacular day of championship racing like the Day of Champions in 2017. The Constellations are scheduled for Monday, September 14th at Monticello Raceway, and the Excelsior Series Finals will be held at Tioga Downs on Saturday, September 19th. Although not on the schedule, the County Fair Finals are planned at Batavia Downs on Labor Day, Monday, September 7th. Any discussion on the proposed schedule?
I'm fine.
Peter's fine. Barry?
Yes, fine.
All right. Can I have a motion to adopt the New York Sire Stakes and Excelsior Series schedule for 2020?
So moved. I second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 9 is the consideration of 2020 purses. Members are able to review the purse schedules proposed for 2020. The fund will again provide an estimated $9.4 million for Sire Stakes purses. Of that, $1.8 million is allocated for the Sire Stakes finals, keeping them at $225,000 per division. We are planning an adjustment to the Constellations and Excelsior finals, so both events will be worth $50,000 per division. We hope this will encourage full fields in all the events. The purses for Excelsior legs remain the same for participants, but the total budgeted amount is adjusted to reflect the actual cost of these events to the fund with a smaller full crop. Just under $3 million is budgeted for the Excelsior legs. Any discussion about these proposed purses?
No
discussion. Is there a motion then to accept the purse schedules for the 2020 New York Sire Stakes and Excelsior Series?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And carried. Item 10, consideration of 2020 budget. The fund's 2020 proposed budget is before us for consideration. The members have a detailed budget book that lays out projected revenues to the fund and anticipated expenses, and we can discuss any items that you would like. The budget is essentially very similar to last year, but I will highlight a few noticeable differences. The budget provides for revenue and expenses of $16.5 million, down just slightly from $16.77 million in the fund's 2019 budget. This is consistent with our trend of slightly declining revenues from racing sources. A few highlights on the expenses side of the budget. A, county fair changes. In line with the approved condition changes for the county fair program, the fund will guarantee a minimum purses of $2,000. This reflects a $25,000 budget increase. Also, in response to inquiries from two locations to potentially add county fair racing in 2020, we are increasing the budget for purses and repairs by $64,000. B, Consolation and Excelsior final purses. In line with the purse schedule just approved by the trustees, the total impact of the budget is an additional $40,000 for these year-end events. C, equine drug testing. The fund has been able to streamline its testing program and is adjusting the budget to reflect this. County fair testing will receive $15,000 and out-of-state competition testing is allocated $55,000. And item D, finally, breeder awards. This budget again includes $1 million in breeder awards, the same level as last year. Do we have any questions or discussion on the budget as it is presented?
No.
I'm all set. Can I get a motion to accept the 2020 budget proposal?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 11 is consideration of grant applications process in 2020. Part of the budget we just approved was $150,000 in grant funding. The trustees will award grants based on the strength of the proposal, the availability of resources, and meeting the mandated mission of the fund. As in the past, we will plan on staff reviewing each grant and asking those applicants that meet the statutory requirements to make a presentation at a future fund meeting. Trustees have in front of them a draft grant application and the current grants policy. We need to set a deadline for submission of these applications in 2020. I would propose that we set a deadline of March 2nd, similar to last year, so that the board may review applications and receive a presentation from requesting organizations at a meeting to be held in the spring. Any discussion on this item?
No. I'm good.
All right, we're going along here. Can we have a motion to establish March 2nd, 2020 as the deadline for grant submissions?
So moved.
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 12, update on the Zweig Memorial Fund for Equine Research. The fund provides a statutory percentage of our income to the Zweig Memorial Fund for Equine Research at Cornell University and has a seat on the board of directors. We have previously designated Kelly Young as our representative. Kelly, do you want to give us an update on the Zweig Fund?
Yeah, so the trustees, in your binder, you have just a summary of our contributions over the last year. So just over $300,000 came from our fund from the fourth quarter of 2018, which was paid right at the beginning of 2019, through the third quarter of this year. So those are calendar year quarters, not state budget year quarters. So $300,000, it's down about $20,000 from last year, which is related more to when the money comes into us and what quarters it hits, then that's not all representative of the decline in revenue. So we provide just under half of the Zweig Fund funding. The Thoroughbreds provide a little more than 50%. And this year, we have awarded grants that are, you have a summary in your binder of just about $673,000 with an additional grant outstanding. The committee asked for that to be redesigned and will fund it probably a little bit later. So after that, almost $740,000 will probably go out of the Zweig Fund this year for equine research. We're able to fund quite a few projects this year, 8 of them, and they dealt with some very timely issues of racehorse health and risk factors on the tracks. So those were some of the things that we talked about, joint injuries, things that are in the news. We also funded a large project, a 2-year project for mares with placentitis, so a breeding related one. A horse genome project workshop that will be held at Cornell was funded. A continuing project, a continuing work of one researcher to get some markers for equine herpes virus so that quarantines are not so imposing on a horse population, so that you could identify what horses are going to get sick quicker so that they could be released from quarantine. So that's some exciting research going on there. So you can see some of the disease and racing injury projects that were funded. The projects are very expensive, it's important to know, and they also, many of them are being proposed over 2 years now. So in the past, I think they were able to fund a larger number of projects, but certainly we're happy with the number of projects we were able to fund this year and the things that they are looking to generate information on. So if you have any questions, let me know. It was also exciting that this year celebrated the 40th anniversary of the ZWAG Research Fund. So they had a celebration the day before the board meeting, just highlighting all of the contributions of the ZWAG Fund research over time. And it was really quite impressive. And although this wasn't related to the ZWAG Fund, I also included for you guys a summary. Leroy Coggins, who was a veterinarian who worked at Cornell, he didn't get his veterinary degree at Cornell, but he did a lot of his research there, was inducted into the Harness Racing Hall of Fame this summer. And he did his work to develop the Coggins test, right? It's just generally known as the Coggins test. It's one of the most ubiquitous words in horses, from racing to pleasure to competitive horses. He did that work before the ZWAG Fund was developed for research, but he really made an impact on the equine industry and all of his work at Cornell. And the ZWAG Fund was working to kind of highlight the fact that he'd been inducted into the Hall of Fame for his work. So I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was kind of exciting. So do you have any questions?
Is the ZWAG Memorial Fund pretty solid?
Yeah, financially, and they're very careful with their funding, recognizing that it's, you know, racing related percentages that they receive. So they're cognizant of funding both specifically racing related, you know, getting at racing related problems, but also breeding problems because of the genesis of the two funds. But as far as finances, you know, giving out $750,000 every year is really helps charge equine research. And one of the things they noted at the 40th anniversary was that that Cornell Vet School is able to attract more prominent researchers because of this fund, because they know that there's money housed right at the university. So many of them are attracted there over other colleges because they know that they'll have access to those kinds of monies. So it's very attractive.
Are they oversubscribed?
To the grants, absolutely, by about three times.
By about three times. Okay. Any questions on SWAG?
No, I'm good.
All right, thanks, Kelly. Is there any new or old business that the members would like to discuss?
Yes, I have a couple things I want to discuss. Is the coupling rule for ownership. We had a problem, not a problem, but we've had this past September in Excelsior Finals, we had, because the current rule, ownership is uncoupled if we have a purse of $100,000 or more. So we never have that problem in our Knight of Champions. But in Excelsior, where we had $55,000, because it's $100,000, we had so many races that we had, you know, two different entries with the same owner in the same race. So, I mean, we ended up having a short betting field. And we've discussed this before with gaming, I have in the past, and the thoroughbreds have common ownership on a couple of the purses, $50,000 or more, but ours is $100,000. And we're going to try to, we've been working on that in the past. We want to try to take a look at this to see if we can get the rule changed. Kelly can probably fill you in with a little more.
It's impacted our Constellations, yep, and our Excelsior Finals because of their purse level. They're stakes races, so sometimes the rules allow for stakes races in certain purses. Our purse is different than the thoroughbreds. So several horsemen have asked, you know, is there an adjustment to be made? And I think Pete's gotten that feedback as well. Yeah. But it is a gaming commission rule, so it has to go through the gaming commission.
Yeah, as you know, in 2016, we made the rule, we brought it to the $100,000 level for common ownership. It's been 3 years, so probably appropriate to look at it to see if it could be reduced.
Where was it before?
It wasn't anything. It was we had Excelsior. We had a Sire Stakes final where we had three betting interests. I don't know if you remember at Yonkers. We had 1A, 1B, 1C, 2. And it was
we actually only had three trainers.
Yeah.
And the field was what?
Yeah, nine three horses, different trainers with eight horses. Yeah. And we just got that done.
Like
otherwise,
those
we would only had three betting interests.
Yeah, we did have. Like we, that's what we changed as a result of that. So. But it's been 3 years, so it's probably appropriate to look at it now.
First tee, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Peter. Anything else?
If maybe if we could have Kelly send the minutes or something of us discussing this on over would help. Okay. Anything we can do to pass it along?
Right.
When you say look at it, what does that entail?
Well, we usually like to hear.
Who does what?
We like to hear from the industry.
What do I need to do? Nothing.
We'll talk to our PJs at all the hardest tracks to see what they feel, how the current change is working, and kind of get a tally from them if we should maybe move to a lower dollar amount.
Okay.
So you're going to coordinate that
yes,
for
sir.
Us? Okay. Good.
Awesome. Okay. Any other new or old business? No. Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for being here today. We anticipate holding our next meeting in early spring, unless circumstances dictate otherwise. So with that, can I get a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Appreciate your time and energy. Kelly, great work.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for being here.
Thank you.